Welcome to Orange Answers.
Oh, that wasn't the pod.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't the podcast introduction I was expecting there, listeners. Who am I trying to ring? Find out. I'm going to try. I'll try again.
Welcome to Orange
Answers. He's got the bloody answer phone again.
I'm sorry, but the person you've called is not available.
Well, he should be bloody available. 35 minutes ago, I texted this person and I said that I shall be calling in 30 minutes. I got a response back from that person saying, OK, X. That person, 30 minutes later, did not answer the phone. Ah, he's ringing back. Here we go. Hello! Hello!
You know?
I've rang three times, Michael Hughes, making me wait.
You said you'd ring me in half an hour.
Yeah, and I sent that text message at 4:15.
Oh, sorry, I've only just got it.
That's the reason why. Well, that's not the only mystery, Michael Hughes. Why have you sent me a message with OKX, you wrote there, Michael? Why an X, my friend? We've got a year to spend together. I don't think, you know, this is not the time and the place to start flirting. What was all that about,
Michael? I call it a creature of habit, Davis, a creature of habit.
Oh, right, okay, well, really don't want to hear about your creature and keep your habit on. Right then, Michael, it's good to speak to you, Michael. Well, for those people who don't know who Brassy are, we're going to play some Brassy, we're going to talk a little bit about Brassy, and then we're going to give a bit of an announcement regarding Brassy, Michael, aren't we? You say yes.
Oh, we've got loads of wonderful news, Davis, about Brassy.
We have. Well, we'll keep them keen. We're going to play Hard Times first. Stephen Foster's Hard Times. We heard Brassy, the Polish shanty group, sing this song when we were at it was the first time we saw Brassy, actually, one of the first songs that we ever saw them perform. And it was at a festival in Apigadam in Holland, and a five-part Polish shanty group. And when the Polish sing shanties, you know you've been shantied. And this isn't a shanty, so perhaps not the best song to start with, but we'll start with it anyway, because I've got it queued up. This is their version of Stephen Foster's Hard Times. And when we heard this song, we thought we had to do a version of it ourselves. We did a
wonderful five-piece version of it, didn't we, Davis?
Yeah, we did. I think it's the other two pieces, the other two parts that are my favourite that you generally don't hear, but the people, I imagine those two parts, and they are absolutely phenomenal. Listeners won't get that, unfortunately, but this is, when you hear this, you'll find out why we were so blown away by them and why that has brought us to make the decision that we have made. But we'll tease you a little bit more while you enjoy Stephen Foster's Hard Times as sang live. This is a live version, by the way, from Brassy.
Let us pause in life pleasures to count its many tears. Why the old sub sorrow with the poor? There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times, come again no more. This is the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times, hard times, no more, yeah. Many days you have lingered at my door. Oh, hard times, come again no more. While we seek mirth and beauty and music light and free, the refrain falls, fading by the fall. Now their voices are silent, their pleadings will say, oh, hard times, come again, oh, far, 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 far. The sigh of the weary. Hard times, hard times, no more. the days you have lingered, there at my kept my door. Oh, hard times come again no more. This a sigh that is wafted across a troubled wave. This a way that is heard upon the shore. Marmelt around the holy grave. Oh, hard times come again, oh,
tis the sigh, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Yeah.
Many days you have lingered.
My door,
oh, hard times come again, oh,
come no more.
Oh, hard times come again, oh,
far far far.
Come again no more. Well, they shall be coming again. They're going to once again. They were at the Tall Ships Festival 2010, the Hartlepool Tall Ships Festival. If you've listened to that podcast or if you were at that festival, you'll know. But they are coming again. They're coming again to British shores, Michael. They're coming to Hartlepool for a start on the 11th of April.
We're running a festival, we're organising a festival in Hartlepool, yes. The Headland Festival, 11th to the 13th. And the idea after that was to say, okay, while they're over here, would it be possible to kind of get them a few tour dates, really, in the UK, kind of give them a bit of exposure, and they're really not known in England at all, and that style isn't very good. It's not very well known, and so the idea was to say, send them on tour, and see what happens. So delighted to announce that they're going on tour
at various locations, which will be
various locations. Yeah,
announcing.
Which will be they go to the Leeds College of Music, they go to the Northern College of Music in Manchester. They're coming up to Newcastle, the Tyneside Centre. They're doing the Ropley Hall in Barton. They're doing one of the Bamfest sessions down in North Allerton.
So if people follow us on Twitter and look at our website and that kind of Facebook, we'll be announcing all of this in the forthcoming months.
But the best way to do it, actually, is to sign up to our mailing list.
Oh, good plug, Michael Hughes. You're doing well, yes.
Thank you. And then you'll obviously get all the information through.
And they can sign up to our mailing list by going to our website. So there you are. Excellent, Michael. Friday was a bit of an interesting day for you because it was the last day of the next year of you being a full-time teacher, Michael. So it's been a...
Yeah.
So how
a really weird week.
Yeah. How many years of teaching has it been for you?
Well, that was the end of my sixth.
Did you do a speech, Michael, on Friday?
I didn't, because I literally had to be in and out. Because we had a concert in Cheshire, so I literally had to, like, get my card and present and stuff and then just run.
Oh, that's a shame. Because it'd be great if you did, like, a speech. I thought you might have something planned there, like, when I came to this school, I had a vision. You know, times have changed now. When I'm, you know, that kind of thing. You could have done a big thing when I, you know, let me take you step by step through what I'd envisaged.
Absolutely.
But none of that. Excellent, Michael. Well, we shall get on. I'll tell you what's coming up on the podcast, because we're not doing a traditional introduction. This is the introduction. I mean, it was meant to be you answering the phone, and we were going to launch straight in. But what it was the orange answer phone. A little bit of talking about that, and then giving me a call back. So not quite the podcast that we had. Exactly. But I'll tell you what's coming up on this week's Youngest Podcast. We're going to have a bit more Brassy on the podcast. We may even have the collaboration that Marius from the group Brassy did with us at our Cheshire Folk Club. That sounded very good. So we'll have that. As well as that, we've got a theatre maker on the podcast. That's a man who makes theatre productions, not actually creates theatre. We haven't got an architect on the show, and he's going to talk about some of his projects. He's at the Fringe, the Edinburgh Fringe, and he's at Latitude this weekend.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll have a chat with him about that. And also, we have got, my goodness, Ellie Lucas from Gibbon Lucas. She has made a shocking revelation this week, Michael, and she will be under the spotlight for Folk in Focus.
Excellent news.
Find out. Well, is it excellent news? We shall find out. But anyway, Michael, we're going to crack on with that now. So I shall speak to you next week, my friend.
Excellent. Have fun, David.
Goodbye, X.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Just kissing Michael goodbye. That's what we always sign off with. He might as well, now the cat's out the bag. We retake to the phones very shortly to speak to Sam Pert for the penultimate Juice a Minute ahead of my detox, which will be next week. But before then, it's time for the second Fork in Focus. There is a gap in the market for serious journalism when it comes to what's going on in the folk world. BBC Radio 2, Mark Radcliffe, Mike Harding, and Folkcast, Folk Radio, the folk magazines just aren't covering the important stories that are going on in the folk world. We realised this, and that's why on the Young'uns podcast we've started bringing you Folk in Focus, where we investigate what's going on in the folk world. It's a fledgling feature at the moment, but I don't think it'll take too long before it becomes a well-respected mainstay in the news world. But right now, this is the second Folk in Focus. Hello and welcome to Folk in Focus, where this week, Ellie Lucas, the Lucas half of Gibb and Lucas, is under the spotlight. Ellie Lucas revealed on Twitter this week that she's been listening to S Club 7 of recent. Is this just a harmless flirtation with rubbish pop music, or is there much more to this? Let's cross to Folk in Focus's folk artists listening to dodgy 90s pop music correspondent John Dunning. Thank you, David. Yes, fiddle player, singer, artist, photographer and woman Ellie Lucas announced on Twitter this afternoon, "I've been rewarding myself between editing tasks with spectacular doses of S Club 7 nostalgia." Her Twitter followers were presumably so shocked by Ellie's revelation that not a single one could bring themselves to respond. However, this has caused the Folk in Focus team to ponder whether her love for S Club 7 will influence her musical direction. Well, I did a little investigating, and this is what I found. The following clip does contain flash photography. I'm standing outside the house of Ellie Lucas. I've been standing here now for just over 10 hours, and just a few seconds ago, my ears pricked up when Ellie got out her violin to do some practice and started playing, well, she wasn't playing a Gibb and Lucas melody, let's just say that. This is a recording that I made just a few moments ago outside Ellie Lucas's house. Listen carefully, and you can just hear. Can you hear that? Let's move a bit closer. Easy does it, John. We don't want her to see me. If I just climb this drain pipe, I think we might get a bit more. Damn! Oh, I should have knocked over a flower pot. Oh, careful, John. Oh, look, she's stopped playing the violin now. She's going to see me. Remember what you got taught. Hoot like an owl, John. Hoot like an owl. Hoo! Hoo! There you go, it's worked. She started playing again. She'll just thought it was a clumsy owl. That's a little trick there that I learnt in Folk in Focus media training. Now you can clearly hear that she's playing Reach for the Stars by S Club 7. I think we're onto something here. Later, I observed Ellie leaving her house and then, using a technique that I picked up in an intensive Folk on Focus training weekend, I picked the lock and crept into her house to investigate further. I'm now in Ellie Lucas's house. I've located her computer, and I'm going to see if this will reveal any more about Ellie's love for S Club 7, and whether it might influence her future musical endeavours. Okay, we'll just turn the computer on. Please enter password. Oh dear. Gibb and Lucas? How about that? That's quite an obvious one, maybe. A bit too obvious. Folk music? No. Photography? No. Oh, what could it be? After just 10 minutes of trying, I struck gold. My God! I don't believe this. I took a wild stab in the dark. I got it. Ellie's computer password is S Club 7. We're in. And this gets even more conclusive. Her screensaver, it's a photo of S Club 7, and they're all naked. What is going on? Let's look at a desktop. My God, thousands of S Club 7 photos. Hang on, what's this? Her diary. Oh my goodness, I've just opened Ellie's diary. I'll read this entry to you, but it's startling stuff. 20th of July 2013. Dear diary, tonight's the night. I'm meeting with her to sign the contract. And then she'll be in my band. I just need to work out how I'm going to break the news to David. I hope he'll take it as an honour, but he might not understand. But I know that this is my destiny. I know this is what I must do. I must leave David Gibb and start my new band with Rachel Stevens. Oh my goodness. She goes on. She told me to reach for the stars. Yes, she told me, don't stop moving. Well, I'm moving on. I'm moving up. I won't stop moving. I'm reaching for those stars. Tonight is the night. This is John Dunning, Folk in Focus's folk artists who listen to dodgy 90s pop music correspondent in the home of Ellie Lucas, saying, back to you in the studio, David. Thank you very much indeed, John. That's all we've got time for this week on Folk and Focus. We'll be back next week. Remember, if you spot anything, please do let us know. Howl at the moon, my friends. Howl at the moon. We shall hear you and we shall take down your story. On the phone, Sam Pertz from Hut People fame, Youngins podcast fame, obviously, which is probably how he's getting most known, I would imagine now, and also famous for being the creator of the blog liveforyounow.wordpress.com with a letter U and the number 4, where on that blog, Sam has explained that he's on the Youngins podcast doing this regular Juice a Minute feature, as he describes the Youngins podcast as light-hearted. And something I'm very proud of, quite funny, he says. I mean, I only, you know, when I aspired to do this, Sam, I went for the mission statement of mildly funny, you know, mildly humorous. But you've taken it up a notch there, and I think quite funny indeed. Anyway, good to hear you, Sam. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back, yeah.
It's good to be back, but at the same time, talking about Juice is tinged with melancholy and a little bit of sadness for me, because this week, Sam, a little bit of a catastrophe in the Juice departments when my juicer set on fire. Not quite.
The juicer exploded.
Not quite. Yeah. I don't know what is going on. I don't know whether I wasn't using one of your recipes, so don't feel responsible.
You didn't burn the engine out, did you?
I have no idea. I don't have a clue what happened. To be honest, this is not the first time it's done it. And I don't think I'm a crazy juicer. I don't think I'm doing anything too crazy with the juice. But I'm not sure what happened. So it started smoking. So I've done a little bit of research. I've done a little bit of research on the internet, Sam. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there appear to be two types. I mean, we could do a little quiz if you like. Two types of juicer.
There are, yeah. There's actually, on my blog, I've explained all about this, actually.
Right, okay.
There's two types of juicers. There's the masticating juicers.
Yes.
And then there's the centrifugal juicers.
Yes.
I think you have one of the centrifugal sort, dear, that's blown up.
I do, one of the centrifugals. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Whereas are you more of a masticating juicer, Sam?
No, I'm a centrifugal juicer.
You're a centrifugal juicer as well? Oh, God.
I'm a centrifugal juicer. I haven't got one of the masticating ones.
Well, I'm having...
They each have different properties, you know, right. Basically. Centrifugal juicers are prone to burnout and prone to... Just basically, it has a little grater at the bottom. So anyone doesn't know what it is, it's like got a little plate of a grater at the bottom of it and then a basket of mesh along the edge of it. And you basically ram the fruit and vegetable down the chute. Even if you do that gently, you give it a bit of a hard life, and then the juice is extracted that way, don't you?
Mm.
And then the masticating ones are basically like a big screw that eats up the vegetables and it squeezes the juice out.
This is the second time it's happened with the centrifugal. I'm thinking of going to the dark side, to the mastication juicer, the masticating
The masticating juices, actually, you get more nutrients out of the veg because it doesn't make it quite as minimally.
Right, yeah, I read
it doesn't go quite as hot.
Right.
So it keeps more of the enzymes in the juice, and it apparently The juice stays fresher for a little bit longer because of that.
So this, listeners, is going to be a very interesting podcast next week, because hopefully, you know, I'll get one of these masticating juices and I can let people know what it is, you know, for the two. I mean, yeah. I feel almost as if this is divine intervention. I think that a lot of people were saying, this is not right. You know, this is not impartial juicing here, because, you know, we've got two centrifugal juicers. I have not read sort of the reviews. I don't know about you, Sam, but I don't read the reviews of The Youngest Podcast. No. I mean, you know, go on the internet, type The Youngest Podcast in, and you'll probably see hundreds. I mean, I haven't checked, but I imagine hundreds of thousands of reviews. Yeah. But I imagine one of the things that they're saying is two centrifugal juices on one podcast. This is ridiculous. Well, no longer.
I always advise on my blog, just to get people into juicing, because you'll find that masticating juices start more expensive.
Yes.
I think they start around 90 to 140 quid for your first pop, whereas you can get a centrifugal juicer for 30 quid from Argos. So it is a bit cheaper to get started. But what I always say is, if you're going to get a centrifugal juicer, get a warranty out on it. Because whether you treat it with care or not, by the nature of how it works, you can't be gentle with it. But just by the nature of, because you ram fruit and veg into the grater, and you can't do that gently.
No, I've said that because we do that as a punishment to Michael Hughes when he sings, when he gets something wrong. And he says, look, I understand why this is a sort of... We tell him it's character building and that kind of thing. And he says, I understand why you need to do it, but you're not doing it gently. We said, we can't ram the fruit down your chute gently, Michael. It's just not possible.
There's no way of doing it gently. No,
exactly. Let's, before we move on to juice a minute, Sam, we should talk about this email that came through from someone. It says, it's about pineapple. We were talking on the podcast a while back about a pope or a saint who died because of eating too many melons. I think he ate something like 3 melons in a row and died.
Right.
We were talking about this, and we were saying this is quite, if you're looking to sort of kill yourself or something, you know, think about like a crazy way of committing suicide, that kind of thing, you know, eating too many melons. Because if you
quite
ate,
a refreshing way.
Exactly, and if you ate 4 melons, you might get yourself in the Guinness Book of Records if you survive. Then, you know, you've achieved something, and you can't go, no longer is my life worthless, because now I'm in the Guinness Book of Records, I'm famous, I've eaten 4 melons, I've got a new lease of life. If you die, then job done, you know what I mean? Better than jumping off a cliff, and a lot less mess than, you know, a train track. Anyway, that's my philosophy. But someone then emailed in off the back of that, well, I say off the back of that, 5 weeks later after we talked about this on the podcast, but that's the nature of podcasts. People listen in their own convenience. You know, someone in 3 years' time will be going, why the hell did I not know about Juice a Minute? This is ridiculous.
Oh, no.
3 years later, you know, it's such a tragedy what happened to Sam and David, you know what I mean? It obviously David was attacked by Michael Hughes, who rammed fruit non-stop down his backside. Just a vengeful attack. The email about pineapple, if I was professional, I would have remembered, I would have got the email now and I'd be able to read it out. But basically went on the lines of a pineapple is apparently can be a dangerous fruit because it's a flesh eating, it's got an enzyme, it's flesh eating. This person went a bit step further and said someone has actually died because they ate too much pineapple and ate their flesh. So I googled this to have a look, and pineapples do have an enzyme that's flesh eating, but apparently when you swallow the pineapple, the enzyme is destroyed. So I am not sure. I've looked and I can't find any evidence of someone dying from eating pineapple, but I thought I'd mention that just because, you know.
Maybe they died of pineapple because presumed they'd have to have the pineapple in the mouth the whole time then.
Yeah, and it would like destroy their throat, and the person saw, I'm just going to keep doing this.
I do know that in India and everything like that, they always eat pineapples after curries because it refreshes the mouth and it cleanses the mouth from all of the curry spices. And I know that try eating pineapple after you have a curry, you'll find it's really refreshing and it cleanses your mouth because of the nature of, I think, the acidic.
Well, while we're swapping pineapple facts, Sam, I also found out some other pineapple facts in Google, and you may already know this. Perhaps one of the more famous pineapple facts, it was number one on the list, and that is that it makes a man's fluids taste nicer in certain situations. Not only a man's, a woman's apparently as well. So if there's anyone who listens to the podcast and enjoys themselves or each other in different ways while listening, going, oh, I find it's just the kind of, just the ticket, this, it really arouses me.
Yeah.
Try having pineapple. How about that? Anyway,
we'll see. I've got something on pineapple as well.
Oh, bloody hell. It's not similar. Go on.
It improves circulation and is excellent for your memory and mood.
Right, okay. I feel as if I should have another pineapple fight now to trump that, but I don't. Damn! He's won. No, it's
but I've also got another tip linking to pineapple.
Oh, my God.
Because obviously, if you are involving pineapples in your juices, one of the most annoying things about the pineapple most people find is chopping that spiky bit off the top.
Yes.
When you chop that off your pineapple, you always lose a lot of pineapple, don't you?
Mm.
So let me give you a tip. All you need to do is hold the spiky top bit that you want off the pineapple in one hand and then twist the actual pineapple fruit in the other hand, and the top will magically twist off the pineapple, leaving you the fruit just to cut up and slice as normal.
My goodness, great tip there, Sam. Great tip. I feel as if we could almost do the pineapple hour. You know, this.
Definitely, yeah.
But we should probably move on to for the third and penultimate juice a minute. What? Well, so firstly, welcome. Now, the last time you did this, Sam, are you aware? You are. Please tell me you are aware of the panel game on Radio 4 just a minute, aren't you? You do understand what
I
we're
am,
doing.
I am, yes, I'm very aware of that, yeah.
Good, because when I said welcome to juice a minute, you can do that. You kind of didn't really do it with the gravitas that I expected. I thought you were going to do it like Nicholas Parsons. So this time,
Sam. Are we ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to Juice a Minute.
That's like Nicholas Parsons perhaps taking a bit too much juice. That is very Parsons there. Excellent. Right then, what have you got for us this week then, Sam?
Well, I figure because it's warm weather and juices always taste much better when it's nice and sunny, I thought it's time to go for a green juice.
Right.
Okay, we're talking the nectar of life here. We're talking big time juice now, okay? I've been doing the last few juices I've been doing, I mean, in all honesty, they're quite easy to drink because they're all very easily sweet. But this is, we're going a little bit more specialist, a little bit more hardcore juicing now. But
hardcore, my friend. Yes, a bit of a juice pun.
Apple core, we're going. But in the same breath, though, even though it sounds really hardcore and it'll look quite hardcore because it'll be lovely, bright and green, it will taste sweet and divine and beautiful, okay? So don't be put off by the colour, don't be put off by the consistency, because it might look like green slime, but it'll taste something far, far nicer than that, okay?
Sam, what's our ingredients?
You need a pen ready, because there's a few ingredients
in this.
But it's going to make you absolutely so amazingly feel. I just had one of these to tea today, and it's absolutely fantastic. So, you will need 2 handfuls of spinach, but you could even put in some kale if you've got that. Anything green like spinach would do. Then you've got 1 apple, 1 pear, a 2-centimeter slice of pineapple, 1 parsnip, about half a medium-sized courgette, so about 4 centimetres or so, but you can use your estimation on that, about half a medium-sized courgette. 3-centimetre piece of cucumber, so about a quarter of a cucumber, say a little bit less than a quarter of a cucumber. Half a peeled lime, a 2-centimetre piece of fresh ginger, and 1 small avocado.
You're going to juice the avocado? Interesting.
No, we're not going to juice the avocado. We're going to be blending the avocado in.
Oh. This is not called blend a minute, sir. It's called juice a minute.
Oh, no, but the avocado gives it, it's a really good tip. What we're going to do, we're going to be juicing everything else.
All right, we'll let you off. I mean, many of the listeners are probably switching off now. I'm not interested in blending. I'm not part of the blend brigade.
You are welcome to juice the avocado, but your juicer will probably explode again.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
So what you need to do is you need to put in 1 apple first into the tube of the juicer, and then fill the rest of the tube with the spinach or kale leaves. Pack them in nice and tight, and then put the pear on top of that, turn your juicer on, and then you're going to push that right down into the juicer to get that going, and you can add the pineapple after that, your courgette, your lime, your ginger, your cucumber, and then finish off with your parsnip. You are literally drinking life's nectar, and it'll make you feel so good. The benefits to this juice are just immeasurable, basically. It's got so much good stuff in it that we'd spend 2 hours or more listing them all.
My goodness. Well, that sounds like a brilliant juice, and I look forward to trying that out in my masticating juicer, which we will review next week, Sam. And obviously, when we were speaking to you last time, Sam, you were talking about one of the reasons you started getting into juicing was to aid your meditation.
That's right, yeah. I do a lot of meditation. I try to do meditation every day. Because basically it helps you raise your concentration, it helps you relax you, it helps you become more stronger from within, you know? And I realised that I wanted to live as good as I possibly could, you know? Mm. And I realised that I needed to look after myself while I've got this health that I've got. While I'm physically able to move and walk and run and everything like that, I want to hold on to this health that I've got. And I realised that through juicing, you can not only maintain that, and how to maintain it, but you can actually play with the idea of doing that for longer.
Well, next week when we have a little chat about that, see if anyone's got some meditation tips. But I remember when I was at university, I had some very odd meditation experiences because we had a mature student friend of ours called Bill Gillies, who was Scottish, and he'd done a lot of travelling to different parts of India and that kind of thing, and studied various teachings and various yoga teachers and that kind of thing. We used to go round to his house on a generally weekly or fortnightly basis on a Sunday. And it was a very strange thing, really, because if you think about it, I was 19 and all my university friends, you know, they were all 19 as well. And then we would go to this man's house who was in his like late 40s, and he was a very calm, sort of collected kind of person. It was completely at odds to what we'd do with our bodies the rest of the with the drinking and that kind of thing. We'd go to his house on Sunday for this kind of it was really odd because we would start the night off. He was a vegetarian, so we'd all have this vegetable curry, and it was delicious vegetable curry, laden with vegetables. And he'd always have this kind of new age music on in the background and stuff, sort of whale music and stuff. And he'd kind of be talking this very low tone and that kind of thing. And then, conversations would vary on all sorts of different topics. But then he would always have some cider, which I always thought was a bit weird, because then, after the cider, he'd then say, "All right, lads, do you want to do some meditation?" we just had cider, and now we're having meditation, a veggie curry and cider. I mean, we used to sit on these high stools, and then it would take us through this kind of meditation. It was hilarious because we were sort of sitting there, and he lived in this kind of very urban area. It was quite a rundown place where he used to live, and so it was complete odds as to what to expect. And he would always kind of get into this kind of zone, and he would turn the music on, and he'd say, "Just let the sounds. Every sound is a part of the meditation. Everything you hear, just become aware of it. Be aware of your breathing, be aware of your body, and be aware of the sounds that you hear." And at that point, we suddenly heard like there was a bit of a fight had started. It was in the distance. And obviously, he was presumably oblivious to this, but we can't concentrate on anything else but this fight.
All right, yeah.
And he's going, "Let every sound you hear, every sound you hear become a part of the meditation. It's all meant to be." At which point, I won't say exactly what happened, I'll censor the swear in a little bit, but at that point, as he said that, there was then a smashing sound, and someone shouted, "Wanker! Wanker!" And then, then this scuffle started, the car alarms was going off, and we thought, surely he's going to come out of this trance, but no, he just, the new age music continued, and he just went, "Let it all be part of the meditation." This is brilliant. And then we came out of the meditation, we're in hysterics. He's going, "So how did you find that meditation? Talk to me how you felt." And I was like, "What? We couldn't concentrate on it, Bill." Guru Gillies. We used to call him Guru Gillies. Absolute brilliant person. So that's my meditation experience. But we'll maybe talk a little bit about that next week. Meditation can be difficult for people. Can't it? It can be difficult to kind of to relax and to centre and breathe. And people say, "Am I doing it? Is this right? And also, for a lot of people, they might want to put like a CD on or something like that, you know. But what I found is a lot of these meditation CDs. My friend was always trying to, I said, "I'm trying to meditate." She said, "But it gets on my nerves, you know. All this relaxing, all this umming and stuff. It really gets on my nerves." After about 30 seconds of someone going I've had enough. She says, "So what I've come up with, Sam, is I'm a bit of a money man. I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, as you know, and I've come up with a solution for that." So if you listen to this week's Youngest podcast, the listeners are going to hear it in the next few minutes, then you'll hear my solution for rectifying that problem there, I've come up with a meditation CD with a bit of a difference, which I think will help the situation. Well, thank you, Sam, for this week's Juicer Minute. We'll be back next week for the final proper Juicer Minute. And if you went hardcore green juice, you know, this week, I mean, what's he going to do next week, listeners? Is he going to go all out and is he going to just massacre us, perhaps?
Who knows?
You know, will I be a massacred masticator next week? Or will he kind of be a bit gentle on us? Who knows? But Sam, we return to you next week, my friend, for the final Juicer Minute. Oh, dear, what a stressful day. Oh, I think I might do a bit of meditation. Stick on one of these meditation CDs. It's a bit boring, this meditation CD, isn't it? Is it going to do anything else but om? Oh, dear. Oh, I can't meditate with this going on. Oh, that's it, I've had enough. Oh, if only there was a way of meditating without listening to all that nonsense. Well, now there is, thanks to Guru Eagle. Now that's what I call meditation. Volume om. It's time to get on down with the groovy sounds of meditation, featuring meditation music in a variety of musical genres, including jazz. Get on down to the sounds of meditation. You want a bit of peace and contemplation? We're gonna take you to a higher level. But first, here's a little trumpet solo from my mate Neville. Funk. Just because I'm a Buddhist monk, that don't mean I don't like the funk. Come on, everybody, listen to my song. I wanna hear you do the funky om. Om with me now. Come on, yeah, man. Hip hop. There are so many ways that you can relax. You can stand in a field and stroke ponies. Me, I just like to sit back, chill, meditate with my homies. And even drum and bass. Yeah.
We're coming on strong with om and this meditation. If you want to be transported to a higher place, then you better get meditation and drum and bass.
Now that's what I call Meditation Volume Om, a unique CD from Guru Eagle, taking the irritation out of meditation.
That reminds me, actually, I'm not a brilliant entrepreneur. I think that idea was absolutely brilliant, but I'll never market it. That's the problem with me. I've got all these great ideas, I'll never market any of them. For instance, that football song. The football season's going to start in August. I haven't even got around to putting it on iTunes and Spotify yet. So I'm going to miss out now. The perfect time to do it was beginning of the season. If you're not a regular listener to the Young'uns podcast and you might have no idea what I'm talking about, poor Daniel Bye's listening to this going, bloody hell, you shoved me right at the end here and I've got to listen to all this nonsense. We'll get to theatre maker Daniel Bye very shortly, who we became acquainted with because he has used our song Battle of Stockton as a part of one of his recent projects. We'll be speaking to him about that and his other projects as well. But first, from Northwich Folk Club last weekend, Marius from Brassy joined us to sing Shinio.
Captain, Captain.
then you lose your brandy way, shiny
ore. Marius from Brassy joining the Young'uns with Shiny Ore at Northwich Folk Club last weekend. And of course, Brassy back next year to English shores, starting with that festival at Hartlepool that we were talking about. Much more information to come on that. On the phone now is a man who juggles with comedy and tragedy, roughness and polish, truth and lies. He says, I wrestle down big ideas about the world until they're small enough for us to swallow. I want you to laugh, cry, gasp and change the world. I'm not sure if we can achieve all of that in one 10-minute phone call, Daniel, but we'll give it a go, my friend.
Yeah, it's worth a try.
On the phone is Daniel By. How would you describe yourself, Daniel, in terms of your sort of official job title?
Oh, that's always very difficult. I'm never quite sure whether to look for something nice and concise, like theatre baker, or whether to kind of list all of the various ways that I go about that. So sometimes you look at what I'm doing and think I'm a writer, sometimes you'll think I'm a director, sometimes you'll think I'm a performer. That might look like acting, or it might look a bit like something else.
You've written that on your website, this is the blurb I'm taking this from, you've written, I love this line, we're all part of history, and that means we can all change it.
Yeah, that's really important to me, that statement. I think we have a sense, I mean, this goes way beyond what I think about what theatre is, and does, and can do. It's really about who we are and how we live with each other in society. So I think that there's a general sense around that, you know, our politicians, and you know, everyone's venal and everyone's corrupt, that we can't really change anything. There's a huge amount of cynicism, not just about the motives of the powers that be, but about our ability to have any effect on that. There's a huge upswing in the amount of public protest in our culture at the moment, and there's a lot of cynicism about whether that can achieve anything. But I think you will only make a change if you try to make a change. If you assume that nothing can change, nothing will.
And so what you're doing essentially is kind of similar to, in some ways, to what we try and do with various songs that we write. And well, and this is how we met actually, through one of our songs, which I'll come to shortly. But I think you're right about that, where I remember getting a review for our album. We got an album review that said, today's battles have their place too. Plays in song too. And I thought, well, that's true. By that, what he was saying was obviously, were you talking about things that happened yesteryear rather than things that are happening today? But I think our point about that is, by talking about what happened yesterday, it's kind of an indicator about the passion and about what society was like, and that can inspire people and that can shape the future. We came together, didn't we, Daniel, because you heard our song, The Battle of Stockton, when you were doing one of your projects about the the uprising, Stockton's uprising against fascism in 1933 against Mosley's black shirts who came into Stockton. You know, that kind of example, singing about that kind of thing, really galvanises people now and all of the problems that are going on today.
What I'm interested in, and I think also what you're interested in, finding the ways in which we can recognise that we're part of that tradition which goes back through the Battle of Stockton, that goes back through the celebration, the demonstration at St. Peter's Fields in 1813, and at looking at how that is still happening and how that's part of a history and a tradition, that we can say we're part of this, this is still happening, we can keep it alive.
Tom, what we're going to do, I think, sort of come September kind of time, and maybe September sort of October, is we're going to speak to you again, and we're maybe going to play sort of a couple of extracts from your work and talk about them. You're performing Latitude, I think that's this weekend.
Heading down there now, in fact.
And you're also doing the Fringe, the Edinburgh Fringe in August as well.
The show I'm heading down to Latitude to do at the moment is actually the show I did on the Edinburgh Fringe last year, which has been touring for nearly 2 years now. It's a show called The Price of Everything. That show is about value. It's about why things cost what they cost. And more importantly, why we seem in our culture now to measure the value of everything purely in terms of what it costs.
Mm.
One of the arguments about theatre often centres around the fact that it's too expensive. There's very little theatre that you can see that will cost more than watching 90 minutes of football.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any theatre that you can see that will cost more than a day of test cricket. And as a lover of both football and cricket, and also theatre, I kind of think it's not about how much it costs. It's about what your priorities are and what you value.
When we spoke to you, obviously, as I say, we were united by the fact that you were asking for songs and stories from the Northeast, and we sent you the Battle of Stockton. You did that on Twitter. Yeah. What was that for then, Daniel?
That was for a show called Story Hunt, and indeed the hunting part of it was really what I was doing when your song turned up in my feed. Did you send me that direct, or did I get that? I can't remember.
I'm not sure, actually.
I think Ark in Stockton retweeted my kind of request for stories. Mm. And until that point, I'd never come across the Battle of Stockton. So I did quite a lot of reading and research around it. It became quite a pivotal part of the show in Stockton. But that show is a walking tour. It's a tour of things that are no longer there. So Stockton presents an excellent example of it, because Stockton's been knocked down and rebuilt,
yeah,
you know, three or four times a year for as long as I can remember. And so going on a walk through the ghosts of buildings,
of, wow,
the people, yeah, and places, but presenting it like a walking tour. So we kind of enter the time. And I did a version of it in Stockton. I did a version of it in your gap in Gateshead, and I also did one up in Berwick. And these were all in the last couple of weeks of June. And there's going to be an audio version of each of the tours available to download. Although I'm not going to be able to get down and record and edit that until after the Edinburgh Festival is finished.
We've been talking on the podcast about dreams quite a bit. Now, this is because Sean from our group has been having sort of interesting folk-related dreams, but it's kind of broadened out into non-folk-related dreams now. I was thinking about this. I thought, well, should we get Daniel to talk about dreams? Because what I find interesting about dreams is people say that you get some people say, oh, I'm not creative, I have no imagination, that kind of thing. But then they have the weirdest dreams, the sort of the strangest dreams. And that kind of suggests, therefore, that on some kind of innate level that we're all immensely creative, but that there's something, whether it be, I don't know, our general demeanour, our consciousness or whatever, that stops us from having that creativity, from actually tapping into that, maybe.
I was really struck by what you were just saying about people thinking they're not creative, and about your sense that somehow that isn't really true. I really do agree very strongly with that. I think the way our education works, and indeed the way our entire culture and society works, is that simply to be suspicious of and to repress any kind of left field thinking. And there's some of the exact details of it, but there's a kind of text of creativity, and it's something like, how many uses can you think of for a pencil? It's an idea that people are creative if they come up with some arbitrary number, I don't know, 20 uses for a pencil in 2 minutes or something like that. Right. And if you ask kids of about 5 or 6, how many uses can you think of for a pencil? They will never stop. They'll just keep coming up with numbers. If you ask kids of about 11 or 12, then they can come up with 2 or 3, and then they stop. Not because they can't think of more, but because they're frightened people will think they're weird. And this is how we teach people they're not creative. We teach people to suppress their creativity because they think it's weird and because there's a right answer.
That's really an interesting point. I think it sounds like a podcast feature that we'd kind of consider if we were drunk and never do. And now on the Youngins podcast, it's time for another use for the pencil. This is number 72. Daniel By with a BYE.co.uk. And we'll speak to you very shortly, Danny. Have a great time at the Fringe and Latitude.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for you listeners for listening to this week's Young'uns podcast. That was Daniel By, danielby.co.uk, BYE. Apologies for the quality of the call. It wasn't brilliant. He was driving to Latitude and the call sort of broke up a little bit towards the end. Apologies for that, but I wanted to put that bit about creativity on and keep that in, because I thought that was really interesting what he was saying about the education system and that kind of thing, which leads me to do a little plug for the fact that the Young'uns will be doing educational projects, putting the creativity back into school, my friends. So if you're a headmaster, a headmistress, or just involved in the education system, then please do get in touch with us. You owe it to the children. Thank you very much for listening, listeners. We'll be back next week with more Folk in Focus. That's if I haven't been beaten up by the Lucas Brigade. We've got the Young'uns in the Mix, I believe, returning, and I start my detox as well, so you can find out how I'm responding to that. Sam Pert offering words of encouragement and also the final juice of minute. That's all coming up next week, but till then, from me, David Eagle, goodbye, my friends. Goodbye. It's my new catchphrase. Bye.